Good morning, and it's good to see this number out on this crisp Sunday morning in April. And Albert's feeling a bit under the weather this morning, so hopefully he will be able to recover soon. This morning I'll be drawing our attention to some scriptures that I'm hoping will be of good use to us as we live our lives in this world. Many of us have been in a situation where we were about to take a test, and we were well prepared, and we weren't upset about the test, we weren't worried about the test, we weren't nervous about the test. Why? Because we studied. We did our homework. We did what we were supposed to do. Bring it on. There's other times when the test was given, and either we knew we didn't study because we just decided, oh, well, I don't need to, or I'll wait until the last minute, and then you get in there, and then you're a little more than a little nervous. You're a little worried. You're a little concerned. It's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And the choice to study was yours. You could choose to study, or you could choose not to study. You could choose to prepare, or you could choose not to prepare. And we will be facing the ultimate test at the end of our lives. And right now is the time to study. Right now is the time to prepare. Our life will end. And then we will face the Lord in judgment. Have we studied? Have we prepared? Here's the textbook. I'll give you a hint. It's right here. And we can study from it and read from it whenever we want, as much as we want, and prepare ourselves for the test that is to come. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and in verse 18, the Bible says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time. And just in case, you know, you need another reminder of what it's like in our present time right now, you can turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, and starting in verse 10, the Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, why do we need that? I wonder. Could it be because we face challenging times? Could it be because we're facing immoral issues? Could it be because we're facing pressures to not talk about that religious thing? Could it be that we're told, well, you know, you shouldn't be seen praying publicly. You're not supposed to do that. Could it be that, well, I don't want you telling me about your God, or a host of others' situations? Could it be that we're seeing times similar to what we saw in Genesis chapter 6? In Genesis chapter 6, where in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible reads, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Does it seem like that to you sometimes? When you think about some of the things that we see on the internet, when you think about some of the things that you see in the news, when you think about some of the things that you see in this world, One might wonder just what is going on. Many times, individuals will do things or say things, and we'll just shake our head and say, how is that even possible that they're allowed to do things like that? How is it even possible that these things are situations that we're having to deal with? Well, as usual, the Bible has an answer to this. And the Bible has guidance for us and gives us the instruction that we need to cope, to deal with the challenges that this world just keeps throwing in our face. What does the Bible say about that? In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow, that seems like something that would work. Certainly does to me. But wait, there's more. Continuing in Romans chapter 12, and picking up in verse 9, the Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor which is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What did we just see? What did we just hear? The example for how we as Christians must cope in this world. We don't go down to that level. We stay at the level that God has established for us. We study the Word that He's given us. We internalize and pray about who we're supposed to be. And then we go out into that world and we set the example based on His Word. Are people going to listen? That's up to them. Are they going to change their behavior? Personal decision. But we, as Christians, must maintain our faithfulness, must seek to be righteous, must seek to be pure, must seek to set the standard so that individuals who are watching us, and believe me, they are, will see what a Christian's life looks like. Many people out there have never been to church. At the place that I work, I was talking about a Bible story, and I says, for example, you know, Samson and Delilah. And a young lady was like, who is that? And she was serious. She'd never heard of Samson. She's 25 years old, married with a little child. Had no clue on who Samson was. Very telling. You talk about the story of David and Goliath, and they might have heard bits or pieces. You talk about so many of the Old Testament examples of the walls of Jericho coming down, of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, they have no clue. What chance do they have of saving their souls unless we engage with them, unless we share with them, unless we show them our hope, unless we, through our lives, draw them to us? We want to be the sort of people that people want to be around. We want to be the sort of people that people like. Not because we just give them whatever we want, but because we're living the way we're supposed to live based on the Bible that we have here. What is our attitude supposed to be like? The Bible gives us so many perfect examples of exactly how we should conduct ourselves, how we should think, how we should act. In Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's one example right there in terms of what we should do, how we should conduct ourselves. That's from the Bible itself. We have to check our own emotions at times. We have to check our own feelings. There might be days where we don't feel like smiling and whatnot. But when you think about what God has given you, when you think about what God has done for you, how can you not? How can you not rejoice in the blessings of life that the Lord has bestowed upon you and the opportunity that you have through righteous living of seeking a home in heaven just by doing what He tells you to do on a regular and consistent basis? In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Ephesians 4 verse 29, the Bible reads, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Corrupt communication. Again, it's easy to have your emotions flare up and have you say or do something that is a response to your emotion. But is that response, is that statement, are those words edifying? Do they draw people to you or do they push people away? And more importantly, are they representative of what a Christian's communication and words should sound like? If they're not, then change them based on what we just read here. But it doesn't just stop there. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you." Now I know sometimes in families it is easy to get mad at somebody because they know how to push your butt. They know how to get on your last nerve. They know how to get under your skin. Brothers especially, we can really twist the knife when we want to. And you want to get them back. Hold on there, okay? Because again, is that the attitude, is that the mindset that we should be displaying? I'm not saying how we feel. I'm saying how we act. Okay? You can control your actions. You can control your emotions. People choose to control them or choose not to. And they'll say, "Well, someone made me do it," or "someone made..." No! We're not puppets on a string. We have free will. We can choose how we act. Just because you're angry, just because you're mad, just because you're furious, doesn't mean that you have to lash out in a way that mirrors what you have felt. In fact, the Bible says that that's not the way to go. But don't take my word for it. As we continue to look at what the Bible has to say, turn to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verse 19. James 1, verse 19. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. As I said, don't take my word for it. It's right there. Now, the fact that those words are there is very telling, because it lets you know that God knows what we're thinking. Why put this? Why tell us to be slow to wrath? Why tell us that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, unless He knew that's what we were going to go do? And so He warns us, don't do it. I know you're thinking it. Don't. He knows man. He knows our hearts. He knows our actions. And He's given us the freedom to decide how we're going to live. And how we choose to live, we call ourselves Christians, reflects back to the world on Him. The world doesn't know. They don't read. They don't study. They have no clue. And so when you let them know through your life, through your words, that you're a Christian, they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to start taking notes here. This is what a Christian is, huh? Okay. And so if we're setting an example that is positive, that is faithful, that follows the Word, great. If we slip up because we're people, we can recover from that. But if we're consistently not doing what the Bible tells us to do, then the message that's being sent is not a good one. And trust me, there are forces in this world that want you to mess up. There are forces in this world that want you to fail. There are forces in this world that want nothing more than for all of our souls to be lost. Many will say that Satan's greatest victory is convincing the world that he doesn't exist. It's a 1-2 punch. First, he wants the world to think he doesn't exist, and his next one is that God doesn't exist. That's what he wants. And once he's got that, he's got you. We are the world's only hope to offset that. We've got to take this book out there and share. By whatever means we can. Working with whoever we can. Be they family members, neighbors, co-workers, classmates, whatever. So many people out there are being attacked every single second by Satan. Why? So that their souls can be lost. What is he doing, that you say? Well, let me just show you what the world's up against. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just listen to what the Bible says here, starting in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the King and Supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Grief. Suffering wrongfully. How could that be? Because this world will do that to you. This world will seek to cause you harm. This world will seek to cause you to quit trying to be a faithful Christian. Satan doesn't want you to do what's right. He wants to pull you away. And he's going to do whatever it takes to accomplish that. Verse 20 says, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." We're in a fight. We're in a fight for our souls, and we're also in a fight for the souls of the rest of the world out there. It's up to us to share with them how they can live the way that they should. If you turn to chapter 3 in 1 Peter, here's yet another example of how we can make that happen. How we can, through our actions and through our behaviors, share the light of God's gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For how he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than doing evil." You think God doesn't see everything? You think God doesn't know everything? You see this world and you think, "God, fix this. This isn't right." No, it's not. And he's given you the tools to go out and fix it. It's easy to think that he could just snap his fingers. Of course he could. Why doesn't he? We don't have the mind of God. We can't answer that question. But we can study his word. And we can discipline ourselves. And we can, for the people that we know and that we interact with, share the truth. And if they don't listen, if they don't choose to follow God after you've told them what to do, well, that's on them. But please, please, don't let this world so impact you, so frustrate you, so challenge you, so push you, so beat you, so hurt you, so whatever, that you don't do what God wants you to do, which is to share His Word with everyone that you can, and to live in a way that will draw people to you so that you could share them. It's probably pretty difficult to just walk up to someone that you don't know and open the Bible and start talking. I get it. But there are people that you know, that you've had over your house, or that they've had you over their house, and they're not Christians yet. And maybe we're working on them. Maybe we're trying to look for the right time or the right place, or we don't want to offend them. Okay. But the clock's ticking. We don't know how long we're going to live. We could live 10 years. We could live 110 years. But it's going to come to an end. And when it does, for those people that you know that didn't hear what you had to tell them, the pain and the hurt is beyond description. We don't want that. We don't need that. We need to do everything in our power to prevent that. We can't let how men might feel about us stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. And just in case you don't believe that, in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, it says, Luke 6, verse 22, "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." If they're going to turn on you because you're going to tell them about the Bible, you might want to point out Luke 6 and 22 to them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't get it. And that's part of Satan's game, is that he wants people not to be aware. You've heard the saying, ignorance is bliss. Not in this case. It is not. It is a disaster. And it will cost people their souls. Continuing in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend back to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil." One of the reasons that we come together every first day of the week to worship is to draw strength from each other, to draw encouragement from each other, to see other Christians seeking to do what we're seeking to do, to know that we're not alone, to know that people are there supporting us and that our efforts aren't in vain. We need to know as human beings that we're okay. And sometimes we feel like we're all alone, but we're not. Because even if everybody on this planet were to abandon you, God never will. He sent His Son to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And that includes each and every person in this building, in this city, in this state, in this country, and in this world. And He gives all of us the opportunity to be with Him if we will submit our will to Him. If we will do what He tells us. Man often is rebellious and stubborn, but doesn't have to be, as we've read here. We get to choose how we act and how we think. And we can help other people understand just how important those actions are. Keith read my scripture reading this morning, which I'll conclude with right now. We're in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 11. It said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We have an opportunity when we go out into that world to glorify our Father in heaven through our actions, through our words, through our deeds. We can help individuals save their souls from an eternity of being lost and separated from God, which is the worst thing that could ever happen. And once they realize that that's what they need to do, they can be baptized for the remission of their sins, and they can come out of that water a new creature, and through faithful obedience from that point forward, have the hope of heaven. But you can't do that if you haven't been baptized. But guess what? We have a baptistry right back here. And there's water in it. So it works. So if you needed to get baptized, we can take care of that right now. There may be individuals who have fallen and in a public manner, and they need the prayers of the church, and they need to be supported and encouraged and told, hey, stay the course. Keep studying the playbook. Do your homework. Submit your will to God. Be obedient. Be faithful. Be true. So whether you need to be baptized, whether you need the prayers of the church, or whatever you might need, please come forward as we stand and as